سیمرغ در بازگشتی دوباره به فلات ایران، تک تک شما دوستان را به پروردگار نگه دارنده مهر و مهربانان می سپارد تا پنج شنبه دیگر با شهر قصه نو از آموزه ها، اسطوره ها و هنر فلات ایران.
I am Boutros, Boutros Ghali. Put down your gun and listen to...
Are you aware? Music that has something to say on CITR 101.9 Vancouver.
Another IUM, music that has something to say on CITR 101.9 in Vancouver. That's finished rather suddenly, didn't Ratty?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. A little bit of fuzz in the headsets here too. I hope we're not having a shutdown, a failure.
I can't hear myself at all.
Well, hopefully the people out there can hear us.
Well, exactly. I'll just shout, right?
shout from the rooftop.
So that was Black Rebel Motorcycle Club, Beat the Devil's Tattoo, from their album of the same name of a few years ago. Well, three quarters of it. I don't know what happened with that, but it's part of being perfectly unpolished.
Yeah, we're pulling that off tonight. I actually saw them on that tour.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Where was
at
I?
At the Commodore. I don't know.
Damn.
You obviously were invited, but...
Obviously, because you invite me to everything.
But I love that song.
Ratty, do you want to tell people why we're in the studio and what's the method to our madness?
Yes,
in case there's
so
new listeners?
If you have not listened before, we're Are You Aware? Music that has something to say. We profile music and musicians that choose the route of positive action over apathy. So music that has a positive message, or artists that are using their skills to help out charities or social justice issues.
So yeah, people would probably be like, where was the positive social message in that Beat the Devil's Tattoo? But we found out some interesting stuff about their philanthropic work and an effort to inspire you, the listener, to be involved in what they do, or just through music be inspired to go out and do something good for the world.
Yeah.
Or locally or global or internationally.
Yeah.
Wherever you feel.
Make an impact. Make a positive impact.
That's right.
Anywhere.
Just like that double rainbow today.
Yeah. That was kind of nice.
It was kind of nice. It was funny. I was... trawling through Twitter on my way here and posted a little thing on there. And it was so funny how many Twitter photos were up on, like, about the double rainbow. It was hilarious. It was just like, okay, guys, let's get over it.
Some sunlight in otherwise what was kind of a dark day, I guess.
It's been a dark week.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about the weather because that's what Canadians
let's
like
Let's talk
about
Black Rebel Motorcycle Club.
Take it away.
Yeah. So in 2009, Black Rebel Motorcycle Club, along with Band of Horses, Seawolf, they were part of a benefit show in L.A. They took part and raised money for a children's cancer research foundation. So the concert raised money for the Pavlov Foundation, which raises money to improve the lives of children with cancer. So there's that connection there for you to charitable items right there. So
charitable endeavors.
Yes.
We always try and connect. And if we can't connect, we just brush it.
Yeah.
Brush it away.
Yeah. Every once in a while, we sneak in something that's a guilty pleasure. But most things are highlighting social justice issues or charities. So.
Well, it's our show. We can do what the damn.
We said that last 2 weeks
the
ago.
The handel we want. Damn hell.
You got that. Yep.
All right. What are we going to have next on the show?
So next up.
This was your choice.
Yeah. I'm really enjoying this guy. We're playing a Canadian singer-songwriter and multi-instrumentalist. Mac DeMarco's coming up here. Best known for his solo career. He's been involved in a couple of very independent bands, but came to notoriety, I'm going to say, 2 years ago when he released his first full-length studio album called Two. This track's off his latest release, which is called Salad Days. I love his style, described as blue wave or slacker rock, and he's just actually setting out to tour Europe in November and December. So without further ado, here's Mac DeMarco with Brother on Are You Aware?
Shit.
Thank you.
Are You Aware? Music that has something to say on CITR 101.9 Vancouver.
The media should strive to hold corporations, government, and institutions accountable to the Canadian public. Today, what is most shocking is what Canadians are not being told, what journalists cannot report on, and how opportunities for citizens to speak out are being routinely shut down. Whether it be muzzled scientists, policing of protest, digital surveillance, or disrespect for the democratic process, the threat to free debate and political participation is clear. This November 7th to 8th, Media Democracy Days 2014 will tackle these threats head-on with a series of workshops and panels featuring
keynote speakers Michael Geist, copyright expert and specialist on internet freedom, Riley Yeo, community engagement specialist at openmedia.ca, Kai Nagata, energy and democracy director at Dogwood Initiative.
Look online at 2014.mediademocracydays.ca for registration and information about our events. Brought to you by CITR 101.9 FM.
Welcome back to Are You Aware? Music that has something to say on CITR 101.9 in Vancouver, the best radio show in, or radio station, I should say, in Vancouver. And that was Canada's own The Rural Alberta Advantage, where their new addition to their discography, Mended with Gold, is the album, and Runners in the Night is the song. I really liked that.
Yeah, it had a good feeling to it, didn't it?
They always have a nice little bit of strum slash country slash twang slash just good times.
Love that guy's voice too.
He's got a beautiful voice, have to say. So if you don't know who they are, they're an indie rock band from Canada, formed in 2005 in Toronto. So they've been around for quite some time. This is actually their third album, and it was only released a month and a half ago now, so September 30th. And they actually played a benefit show recently to raise money for Counterfeit Harm Reduction Program, and which is, tell me about it, ready?
Well, Counterfeit Harm Reduction Program is similar to what we have in Vancouver in Insight. So the Counterfeit Harm Reduction Program services the east end of Toronto and offers support for drug users, ranging from counseling to the distribution of harm reduction information and supplies. So those that haven't heard of Insight in Vancouver, Insight provides a safe place for addicts to inject drugs. So here's the big difference between the program we have here and the one in Toronto.
I thought it was extremely interesting.
Yeah, is that the program in Toronto, Counterfeit, pays drug users and dealers to help distribute clean needles on the streets and operates in a legal gray area. So that's the big difference.
Yeah, and I mean, Insight first started, probably like 6 or 7 years ago now, there was a lot of people up in arms about it because they were like, you're encouraging drug use, blah, 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 blah. But as we know, on the downtown east side, it's unfortunately rampant. So this was a place where they could have medical staff on site, and people could go and administer their drugs and get counseling in a safe and clean environment. And Insight not only does provide, obviously, the space to do it, but they also have cleanup efforts around the Vancouver downtown east side. So they look, they collect used needles that they find around. And I remember watching a documentary or a show about them once, and they just had like one of those blue bins full of needles from one night's cleanup.
Wow.
And that's saying a lot about the population down there. They obviously need, I mean, a lot of people think, oh, maybe they have too many support systems, but there's obviously a lot of people that need help that don't know how to get help, and a lot of them are homeless, so they can't actually have the help that they need.
They have trouble accessing it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, I actually read an article recently. Recently, apparently, there was a bad batch of heroin in the Vancouver area, and there was, I think it was 30 overdoses at Insight. But the thing is, there's medical staff on site, and those people didn't die because they were in that safe place where they're going to be shooting drugs on the street anyways.
Mm-hmm.
But they're in this safe place where there's medical staff on hand that can do something about it if something like that happens. So.
Absolutely. And they also work as a preventative measure as well, because a lot of these counselors actually help, not preventative is the best word, but help them get off the drugs and into counseling services and things like that. It's funny. I remember you and I were talking about it probably when you were first on the show with us, because I remember talking about Insight and it was just starting out back then. And one thing that I remembered was in King's Cross in Australia. It's a suburb of Sydney, and it was very well known for being like an area where there was a lot of prostitution, a lot of drugs going on, a lot of gangs, that kind of stuff. And they actually had a safe injecting site. I think it was one of the first safe injecting sites in the world. And again, the that area is just so much more vibrant now. People have a space to go. People have space to, you know, to administer these drugs that they need or, are sort of addicted to. So it really does help a lot of the community, even though some people are against it, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
I'm all for it.
I'm all for it as well. So, yeah. And a number of people out there are. There's
absolutely
a lot of support for it in locally.
Including the Rural Alberta Advantage Toronto.
Yes, and before that, we had the Antlers with Palace from their most recent album called Familiars. They're an indie rock band currently based out of Brooklyn, New York, and Familiars is their fifth full-length studio album released this past summer, and they've previously participated in the One Day Without Shoes campaign.
Yeah, and that's obviously Tom Shoes' initiative, which is, I guess, one of the most successful or one of the more successful social enterprises out there, Tom Shoes, if you don't know about it. And it's got a bit of a following, Tom Shoes. It was a fashion item. I guess it still is, but was a fashion item a couple of years ago. Basically, you buy a pair of shoes. It's pretty simple, and they give a pair of shoes to people in need in developing countries. So the annual campaign, which is obviously organized by them, looks to raise global awareness for children's health and education, and it usually takes place in April every year. They ask people to go barefoot for the day to experience what many children around the world face as a reality, a life without shoes. And it's amazing. So many of these things that we take for granted, like fresh water, running water, shoes, things like that, that just we don't even have a second thought about. But there's so many people around the globe that just do not have the benefits of these simple things that we take advantage. So it's really important to remember that and support that cause. And Michael Franti is a person that never wears shoes. Yeah. I can't remember why it was.
I have a feeling it's something similar. I have a feeling, but I do remember that. And if you do recall too, Xavier Rudd.
Yes.
When he was in the studio.
Had no shoes.
No footwear.
And for a plug, we've had Xavier Rudd and Michael Franti chat to us on the show in live and on via phone. So you can go to our podcast and listen to those. They were a while ago.
Yeah.
I've been trying to get bands to come on. I've been talking to the Black Keys. Like, I emailed the Black Keys. I emailed the Coup. No one's getting back to me. Damn it.
If you're in a band out there and you want to come on the show, let us know.
Are you ready? Especially if you've done something good. We want to hear about that as well.
We want to talk about positivity.
Talking about the Black Keys, what did you think? Last Thursday was their massive show at the Pacific Coliseum.
Yeah, my first arena-sized show in quite some time, to be honest with you. And I was very impressed, very impressed. They know how to entertain a big audience.
They do, and it was funny. And we both went, and I leaned over to Christian at one point. I said, it's funny, they're such a small band. I mean, seriously, they're two members, and then they have their touring band, which is, what, three extra members?
Two, I think. Bass player and a guy that played multiple instruments.
Yeah, he played the piano and stuff. I couldn't see everything because I'm vertically challenged, and I was behind. Giant men always stand in front of me. It drives me up the wall when I go out to concerts. That's my own little rant. But I just thought it was very cool how they obviously, being a smaller band, they have such a big sound. But they also, the way that they positioned themselves and they didn't have that much, bells and whistles to go along with it, but they did create a really good visual stage for people to enjoy as well as obviously audio.
Yeah, and I love the drummer positioned at the front of the stage. That's the second show that I've seen recently where the drummer's been positioned at the front of the stage, and I'm a big fan of watching the percussionists and Alt-J also, they've had their drummer at the front of the stage.
People give drummers a hard time, but they are the heartbeat of the song.
It's true. They keep your feet tapping and get you dancing.
And it's really hard. I tried playing drums for a year, and it's really hard. You have to use four different limbs at different times. It's not five because that would be weird. Anyway, I digress. Let's get back to the music because we've got a bunch of music and we've only got 45 minutes to go before we say sayonara for another 2 weeks. The next band, Timbre. They're your choice.
Yeah, so this is a song from their latest album called Hot Dreams. They're a Canadian group. Their moniker refers to an early series of recordings made in a timber-framed cabin outside Bob Cage in Ontario. Three other albums have been nominated for the Polaris Music Prize, including their latest release, Hot Dreams, which is their fifth studio effort. So their last couple albums have been highly successful.
And they've actually sort of partnered a bit with one of the major banks here for a pretty cool initiative. In 2011, designer Jeremy Lang designed a T-shirt that was inspired by their haunting vocals. Profits from the sale of these tees went to Music Counts, which is a non-profit that we've talked about before. They really support music education in schools across the country, as well as trying to provide some instruments for some poorly needed schools. So Music Counts, in 2011, TD Community Music Grants, was this this year or 2011?
You know what? The T-shirt, I believe, was designed in 2011, but Music Counts, the TD Community Music Grants was this year.
So, awesome. Yeah. So that was a program it was basically a grants program, and they received over 100 applicants, with a total of 220,000 being awarded to the 16 selected recipients. So now in the second year, this music grants envisioned nearly 3 years ago by Kevin Drew of Broken Social Scene, which is pretty cool. He approached Music Counts with the intent to get involved with that charity.
Yeah, and locally, the Heart of the City Piano Program received a 2014 grant from Music Counts. So the Heart of the City Piano Program provides a way for members of the community to share their love for music with children who may not otherwise have the opportunity to learn to play piano or guitar. Volunteer teachers from the Vancouver area offer lessons to inner city elementary schools while acting as mentors and role models to the students. And interestingly enough, that initiative was organized by students right here at UBC.
Whoop, whoop to UBC.
Yes, and the Heart of the City Piano Program is a sanctioned UBC Alma Mater Society Club and is partnered with the Vancouver School Board. So.
Which is awesome. And I've seen them. I've seen one near the seawall as you head over to where the Food Trucks Festival
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
It's cool to see people in the summertime playing it. I mean, I think we should have more accessible music out there. I mean,
for sure.
Guitars are a bit harder because someone could walk off with it.
Yeah.
But, you know, like drums or music, like things that are, you know, secure to the ground would be very cool. But let's keep the music going. This is Curtains with exclamation mark and a question mark behind it.
Yeah.
I know, you sort of have to say it like you're startled. You're on Are You Aware? Music that has something to say on the one, the only CITR Radio 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
three decades, CITR's annual Battle of the Bands Shindig has been host to local bands known and unknown. This year, Shindig leaps into its fourth decade as 27 bands prepare to take the stage. The stakes are high, with artists competing for studio recording time, event showcase spots, and more. Shindig 31 marks CITR's first year at the Hindenburg, so come celebrate with cheap drinks, free pool, great stage, and of course, jokes for beer. Shindig runs every Tuesday until December 16th at the Hindenburg, 23 West Cordova. Cover is only $6. Shindig congratulates Revered for passing into the semifinals. This November 11th, come to the Hindenburg for the bright pop rock of Speller, the dark surf pop of Malk, and make sure you bring earplugs for Double Standards Hardcore.
Believer. mission. Does it fill your gaps like it fills in mine? The sunlight creeping across the line to rest upon the side of our ruin.
You're listening to Are You Aware? Music that has something to say on 101.9 CITR. And that was Owen Pallett with The Secret Seven from his latest album called In Conflict. He's a Canadian composer, violinist, keyboardist, and vocalist who performs as Owen Pallett. He's released some material under the name Final Fantasy, though.
Wasn't that a computer game?
Yeah, video game. Huh. Yeah, you know what? I don't know if I've played it.
I haven't played it. I don't play any video games.
It is a dated video game, definitely. And I'm sure that's where he got the name.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I would imagine. So as Final Fantasy, he actually had some success winning the 2006 Polaris Music Prize for the album He Poos Clouds, which I love that album title. I don't know why.
It seems like it should be a name for a children's book.
It definitely should be the name of a children's book. He's been noted for his live performances. He plays the violin into a loop pedal, similar to Andrew Bird, who I actually saw at the Folk Festival do that this summer, and it's amazing. It's amazing. And Owen Pallett uses that technique quite a bit. And January 2014, Pallett and William Butler were nominated for the Best Original Score at the 86th Academy Awards for their work on Her.
I've watched that movie and I've heard the soundtrack, and they definitely deserve that nomination for sure.
Yeah.
Have you seen the movie?
I have, yeah.
Yeah, great movie.
Yes, I just love the idea of it, so I had to watch it, mm-hmm. and it didn't disappoint.
No. Yeah. Spike, what's his face? Jones. Very good. So Pallett has been in the news recently for something that's been on the news pretty non-stop since the story broke. He recently penned an open letter weighing in on the Gian Gomeshi abuse scandal, which we don't really have to go into because everyone knows about it pretty much. Also, a petition to show support for the women that have outed Gian was started last week and was signed by Pallett, Fucked Up, and members of the Constantines, to name a few. Gomeshi has been accused of sexual harassment and violence against women and was fired by the CBC from his extremely popular radio program called Q. Right now, 9 women, mostly anonymous, have come forward since the allegations first surfaced. 3 women have made complaints to police, and now there's an RCMP investigation going into it. Gomeshi has filed a $55 million lawsuit alleging defamation and breach of confidence against the CBC. He's also filed a union grievance alleging wrongful dismissal and defamation. So everyone has pretty strong views about this. People have had differing reactions. I know that you and I have talked about our differing reactions from when the story broke. I mean, the first thing I heard about it was his Facebook post on his open letter on Facebook, which was interesting because you and I had the same reaction. Like, oh, that's brutal. Like, sounds like someone's really out to get him.
Yeah.
And that was my first thought. And then my second thought was, I wonder if he's trying to get ahead of something that's going to be obviously a lot more sticky.
Yeah, I think at first I didn't think this, but now he was definitely trying to get out in front of it.
Oh, for sure, 100%.
Getting out in front of the story. So it is funny, though, how reading that letter from him, I'm a big fan of the program, his old program, Q, mm-hmm. and him in turn. And you almost don't want to believe, even though it's wrong to not believe the women, but I almost wanted to believe his story at first. And, we do that frequently in this society with sports players, professional athletes, musicians. I think we give them the benefit of the doubt when we appreciate what they do professionally. When something like this comes up, and it's not necessarily the right thing to do.
It's the infallible complex, right? They're just so, they're stars in our eyes. So how could they ever do wrong? I mean, obviously there's been so many players, not so many, but a couple of players in the NFL that have can't, that, you know, it's been exposed that they've beaten their wives and things like that. And I mean, these are things that in everyday situations and everyday life we're horrified by. But for some reason there's this concept of, well, he's a star or she's a star and this behavior is acceptable, which it absolutely isn't.
Yeah.
One thing, and you and I have talked about this prior to coming on the show, just when we were hanging out, and I, you know, no, I'd never condone violence against women or sexual abuse or violence against anyone or sexual abuse against anyone. But for me, the only positive things that I can see from this is that we're actually having conversations that we never talk about. Things that are taboo, like role playing, like Dom and submissive stuff, things like that. You know, where are those lines around role playing and all that sort of stuff, as well as sexual abuse. Yeah. We don't talk about that. It's taboo. In 2014, women, there's ridiculous statistics about women being raped. 1 in 5 women are raped or experience some kind of sexual abuse in their lifetimes.
That is...
Why aren't we on
crazy.
The streets?
Yeah.
Why aren't we on the streets protesting? Yeah. And, I mean, I've heard from a lot of people who may have reported stuff like this prior and not been given a fair, not even trial, but just being listened to by the police and the people that are supposed to be out to protect.
Yeah. Well, kudos to the women that have come out, spoken about this. I'm amazed and very happy to see the positivity that's been kind of shown to them and the support that's been shown to them on social media. You know, with a big star like this, sometimes things can go the other way. So I was really happy to see that.
Well, and some people say, oh, well, why didn't they report it 10 years ago when it happened? I mean, abuse, you look at the Rolf Harris case in Australia, where he abused children 30 years ago and it took them 30 years to come out about it because he's a celebrity. And who's going to listen to me over someone who's a celebrity and know everybody knows, right? So there's a lot of psychology around that, just abuse in general and when you disclose it or when you come out to talk about it, right? Like, it's everyone's own personal journey.
Celebrities are kind of in a power position too, mm-hmm. you know, or someone that's in a position of authority that does something like that. Like, I can imagine, I can't speak from experience, but I can imagine people that are abused at the hands of a celebrity or someone in power, they must feel like they've done something wrong, I imagine.
Well,
and that's terrible.
Exactly, and that's taking advantage using your power play, which is not great either.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's lots of psychology around and lots of reports around sexual abuse, whether it be a female being abused or a male being abused, where the victim feels like they did something to instigate it or did something wrong to let it happen. And there's all this psychology around it. I wanted to actually talk quickly. There's been a great, YWCA Canada has just released this fantastic infographic. Fantastic in the way that it really highlights what's going on. Terrible in another way that it is at these numbers, but it's really, I implore you, it's up on the Huffington Post website as well, or just we'll put the link up on our website. But there are 460,000, and I'm going to repeat that, 460,000 sexual assaults in Canada every year. Now, out of every thousand sexual assaults, 33 are only reported to the police. 29 are recorded as a crime, so you've already reduced that by 4. 12 have charges laid, so you pretty much reduce that by half. 6 are prosecuted, again by half, and 3 lead to conviction. 997 assailants walk free. That is a huge injustice to the society.
Yeah, those numbers speak volumes.
So when you think about it, there is definitely, everybody knows someone that's been abused out there. Like,
based on those, yeah. Based
on those numbers.
Figures, for sure, yeah.
And we can't let this happen. We can't let this continue to happen. And no matter where you are in power and no matter what you're doing, this abuse is not acceptable.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like I said, I mean, we need to get on with the show, but I just thought it was very interesting because conversation always leads to evolution and progression and revolution. So I hope this is a start of just, you know, being more aware, getting the support services for abuse victims of abuse, and also talking about where those blurred lines are around role play and what do you call it, SDMS or whatever it's called.
That's another thing. You know, when Jean Gomeshi put that letter out there, that part of it was actually quite accepted by a lot of the Canadian public, I felt. So that's a whole nother layer to that for sure.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I think in Canada we're fairly open-minded these days. So,
well, you hope 2014.
That's a positive out of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and whatever the police find, you know, whatever, I'm not going to comment on that because there's no
We don't want to cast judgment.
No.
It's up to the court of law.
But, and everyone has very, you know, everyone's impassioned by it and everyone has their own opinions. But at the end of the day, this is a reflection of what I said. There are 460,000 sexual abuse cases out there that we're not talking about and we need to be talking about it. And why does it take a high-profile Canadian in a situation like that to actually be front page news?
Yeah, it's sad, but sometimes that's what it takes, right?
Because the people that are getting abused in the foster homes or on the street, whatever, you're never going to hear about.
Yeah.
But we should probably continue on with some music.
We'll make sure to post that that Huffington Post article with all those stats for people if they want to see it. So check out our Facebook page later this evening. Up next, we have some Emmy Lou Harris. So she's an American singer and songwriter. Old Yellow Moon, an album of duets, which featured her and former band member Rodney Crowell, was released in late February 2013. It was another Billboard Top 10 country album for Harris and obtained her 13th Grammy Award, which is amazing. She has worked with numerous leading artists, including John Denver, Linda Ronstadt, Dolly Parton, Roy Orbison, The Band, Willie Nelson, Bob Dylan, Bright Eyes, and so many more. So
she is a trailblazer in a time when there was not many women in country.
That's right. She's a definite trailblazer. Yeah.
And I mean, I'm always all a bit of a fan of a bit of country in my rock and roll. So that's why I chose this today. She's actually been involved with Sarah McLachlan's Lilith Fair back in 97 and 98, which is promoting feminism in music. And since 1999, Harris has actually been organizing an annual benefit tour called Concerts for a Landmine Free World. All proceeds from the tour support the Vietnam Veterans of Americans Foundation. She's done that, as well as efforts to assist innocent victims of conflicts around the world. So she's done a lot of cool stuff. She's also a supporter of animal rights and PETA. She founded in her spare time a animal shelter in Nashville where she lives, and she's a newly formed commission of the Humanities and Social Services of the American Academy of Arts and Sciences. So she's a busy lady.
I was going to say one very busy lady.
And the reason I chose her today was because the Foo Fighters have a great new show on HBO called Sonic Highways. I think it's like an 8-part series documenting their new album, which they basically go to different cities around America, talk to the legends of that city, and really doing a sort of a history of American music. Very interesting. Emmy Lou was on there, and so I thought, you know what? I'm going to play her on the show today.
Excellent. Well, here's Emmy Lou Harris with Wrecking Ball on Are You Aware? Music that has something to say on 101.9 CITR.
My life's an open book. You read it all. A Jihad for Love, Whitewater Black Gold, A Red Girl's Guide to Reasoning, East Hastings Pharmacy, Ai Weiwei, Never Sorry, Misrepresentation.
Cinema Politica UBC screens politically charged films with speakers and discussions every month. Screenings take place at the Norm Theater in the Sub and are by donation. To learn more, visit cinemapolitica.org/UBC.
Thank you. seem to stand on my own two feet. I'm breathing but I'm wheezing, feel like I'm emphysema. My throat feels like a funnel filled with Weet-Bix and kerosene. And oh no, next thing I know they call up AAA. I'd rather die than owe the hospital till I get old. I get adrenaline straight to the heart. I feel like Uma Thurman post-overdose and kickstart. Reminds me of the time when I was really sick and I had too much pseudoephedrine and I couldn't sleep at night. Halfway down High Street and he looks ambivalent. He's probably wondering what I'm doing getting in an ambulance. The paramedic thinks I'm clever cause I play guitar. I think she's clever cause she stops people dying. Anaphylactic and super hypochondriactic. Should have stayed in bed today. I much prefer the mundane. I take a hit from an asthma puffer. I do it wrong. I was never good at smoking bombs. I'm not that good at breathing in. I'm not that good at breathing in. I'm not that good at breathing in.
Attention grad students, share your research, find out what's going on in other disciplines, approach your work from a new angle. Check out Fire Talks, the interdisciplinary discussion forum sponsored by the Research Commons at Kerner Library. Visit bit.ly/firetalk for more information.
I'm
You're listening to Are You Aware? Music that has something to say on CITR 101.9 in the Vancouver. And we just had some Australiana in the mix. The Australian ladies are representing.
Back-to-back jacks right there.
Back-to-back jacks.
Yeah. Sounded good. Sounded good.
Sia is definitely awesome. So that was Sia, not Sia, but Sia from... I need to go home and have a glass of wine. It's from her album of this year, A Thousand Forms of Fear, and we just heard Elastic Heart. So she's been around for a little while. This is actually her sixth studio album. She's an Australian down-tempo pop and jazz singer and songwriter. She has another – her first hit off this album, or her first single, was called Chandelier. I've told Christian to go home and watch the video, watch both the videos. The first video is amazing. It's this girl who's 10 years old that does this amazing dance routine that's like a single shot throughout the whole thing, and I don't know how her body can do what it did.
Really?
And the second video you have to watch. So that's Chandelier. Check it out on YouTube. Support Australian music. I might get shot for saying that.
Yeah,
in CITR
little plug
radio.
For your homeland.
Of course, of course. And then Jimmy Kimmel does a spoof with Guillermo, his sidekick, and they actually go and meet Maddie, the dancer, who's on Dance Moms as well, that scary, scary TV show. And she tries to teach them to do the dance that she does, and hilarity obviously ensues. But it's very fun, like hilarious what Jimmy Kimmel and Guillermo do, but also just amazing to see such a talented dancer so young. So go check it out, Chandelier, even though we're talking about Elastic Heart right now. The other cool thing about her is she refuses to face the audience when she performs. I don't know if I'd like that.
Yeah, apparently. It's different. Although, you know, some artists, I guess, are shy.
They are shy.
Yeah. Jim Morrison, I know from The Doors, for a while, I think he faced the drummer.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he was so wasted, he probably didn't know which way was the front.
That could have been it as well,
She's a vegetarian, which is cool, and she's participated in an advertisement for PETA in the Asia-Pacific region with her dog to encourage... Her dog's called Pantera, which is very cool, to encourage pet neutering, which is important because you don't want to have stray dogs and cats around. And she's also joined other publicly known figures for the Oscars Law campaign to protest against the factory farming of companion animals. And this is probably the weirdest part. She donated her breath. That's right, her breath. She put it in a mason jar to be auctioned off for a charity at the Adelaide Film Festival this year.
Very unique.
How could you legitimately sell that? Anyway, I'm just saying.
If it raises funds, I guess go with it. Whatever works.
Some creepy person.
Yeah, very, very unique. Very unique way to raise awareness and funds for a charity. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Before that, I love that track. By the way, before that, which was Courtney Barnett with Avant Gardener from the double EP A Sea of Split Peas.
We got some good album names tonight.
I know some of them are tough to say. Had trouble getting that one out. She's from Australia as well. She's a singer, songwriter, and guitarist from Melbourne. Known for her witty, rambling lyrics and deadpan singing style, which I think was on display perfectly on that track. In 2012, Barnett started her own label, Milk Records, and released her first EP, I've Got a Friend Called Emily Ferris, to glowing reviews around Australia. Barnett received international critical acclaim in 2013 with her second EP, How to Carve a Carrot into a Rose. Lead single, that one that we just played, tells the story of having an anaphylactic asthma attack in the midst of an Australian heat wave.
And for someone who experiences or has experienced many Australian heat wave, I love the line when she's like, it's 40 degrees and I feel like dying. Or I'm like, yeah, I know how that feels.
Yeah, her writing style is very interesting.
Very cool.
Yeah. That track was named Best New Track by Pitchfork in 2013. Which I didn't know that, but yeah, I'm on board. She combined two releases into one and called it the double EP, A Sea of Split Peas, which was released May 20th, 2013. And in April 2014, Barnett recorded a full-length album with Burke Reed, and a release date has yet to been set, so...
Yeah, and she actually was involved in honor of National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. She was among 10 bands and artists who reissued some of their records on pink vinyl. So Courtney Barnett was among the artists included in the 10 bands, one cause, which was pretty cool. Billboard reports that $1 from every sale will go to Gilders Club New York City, a non-profit named after Saturday Night Live pioneer Gilda Radner, who succumbed to ovarian cancer as well. So pretty cool.
Yeah, good cause to support.
Yeah.
We're shifting gears here a little, aren't
we? We're going a little retro.
We're going to get a little retro rock and roll going on here, and we're going to play some of The Who coming up. This is a classic track called Won't Get Fooled Again. I'm sure most of you have heard it. It was written by Pete Townsend, the final track on the band's 1971 album, Who's Next? And Townsend stated in 2006 that it is not precisely a song that decries revolution. It suggests that we will indeed fight in the streets, but that revolution, like all action, can have results we cannot predict. Don't expect to see what you expect to see. Expect nothing, and you might gain everything. The song was meant to let politicians and revolutionaries alike know that what lay in the center of my life was not for sale and could not be co-opted into any obvious cause. So, great statement. In 2004, it was ranked the number 133 on Rolling Stone's The 500 Greatest Songs of All Time list. So.
There's a lot of Confucius in there. Expect nothing and you might gain everything. That's a little...
Pete Townsend, the
Buddha.
Philosopher.
It is. He is. Well, and this is an 8-minute song, and we've got Stereoscopic Redoubt coming down in like 9 minutes. So we're just going to leave it at that. It's on the most 50 most political songs of all time. We'll be back to play one last retro tune before we say goodbye for the next 2 weeks. But this is The Who. You're on CITR 101.9 in Vancouver.
We don't get...